Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen, Volume 2, Days 8 through 14. Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen, Volume 2, Day 8. God's greatest glory is in my humiliation. We do tend to believe that being on the mountaintop is the best place of service or the place from which we can be most effective. And yet the truth really comes down to this. Are we willing to be so committed to Jesus Christ, so much His servant, that we are willing to be completely and utterly humiliated for His sake? It is only in the extinguishing of my pride that I become humble. Humiliation is actually proof that I have not yet conquered my own pride. It is only in my total submission to God that I can really be of use to God. It was the submission of Jesus to God's purposes that accomplished redemption of us all. Jesus Christ suffered myriad attempts of others to humiliate Him for the duration of His life on earth. Although His detractors tried time and again, they were unable to humiliate Him. Jesus' true humility precluded the possibility of humiliation. His pride had long since been abandoned when He left heaven to be born as a human being. The best relationships are assured by mutual humility. The primary evidence of a loving relationship with anyone is our other caring exceeding our self-caring. Our greatest pleasures in relationship are when we show mercy and grace to each other. Undeserved favor is the greatest gift of relationship. Redemption occurs when we sincerely and humbly come to Jesus, offering to do whatever brings Him pleasure, no matter how humiliating that may be for us. Why not give Jesus your trust and your love? Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen, Volume 2, Day 9, Struggles in the Balance of Holiness. The significance of holiness is as it relates to a balance between parties in relationship. Holiness is a perfect balance between me and God, between humanness and divine, between human nature and the divine nature. Holiness in me is what brings the two of these into perfect balance. Expecting life to be easy, trouble-free, financially sound and secure, and without pain and suffering, just because I am a Christian, has no basis in fact, nor any basis in reality. Life is full of contradictions, difficulties, and struggles. These struggles are a part of that perfect balance. They are intended to bring me to the point of exercising my will in the pursuit of God. So give yourself to the pursuit of God no matter what your circumstances. Realize that God actually allows, architects, and even purposes the troubles in your life. Stuff happens specifically to bring you to the point of exercising in a particular area so that you can grow beyond your current maturity and relationship. Look at every trial and tribulation from God as an opportunity to take a shortcut to a better place in your relationship with Him and in your relationship with everyone around you. James says in chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, "Consider it a sure gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced out into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you can become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way." The Message version of the Bible. Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen, Volume 2, Day 10, For Applause or Pleasure. Throughout our lives, we seek recognition, affirmation, significance, and many other things. What is it that we're looking for? We seek a sense of self-worth, and when we come to God, we want to serve Him along that line. Yet we want to maintain some semblance of affirmation and some semblance of recognition in the course of serving our God. Unfortunately, it is the desire for the applause of others that spawns all sorts of hurt feelings. When we do something significant and do not hear thank you, or worse yet, someone else gets the credit for it, we are hurt and possibly even angry. One who is truly living a Christ-like life never tries to draw attention to himself. Christ never did things in order to be affirmed or recognized. He often told those whom He healed to go quietly and not mention His name. The very opposite seems to be true in human circles, even in Christian circles. Once we've received Christ, we are more than delighted to serve God, but we're still looking over our shoulder or out of the corner of our eye to see who's watching. Yet, when one receives Jesus Christ, the opportunity is presented to develop a passionately intimate relationship with Christ. Only such a relationship will cause us to desire nothing except to please Jesus. We desire that the one we love be indulged, affirmed, and adored. We don't need affirmation from other people because we know that we have pleased God. Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen. Volume 2, Day 11. Right Ministry, Right Timing. In retrospect, I could see time and again in my life and time and again in the lives of many around me the tendency to get a bit of vision from God, a glimpse of ministry I feel He has in mind, but then taking the baton from His hand and charging ahead full speed, frantically in a hurry to get her done. When that happens, God just steps back and waves goodbye. As we proceed down that path toward ministry at our own pace and in our own way, God cannot be glorified in any way, and God will never share His glory with others. He is God. Unless we forsake the tendency to run ahead of God or to be in a hurry to make reality out of a vision He gives us, we will be disappointed and disillusioned. Time after time, the vision dies an unnatural death. Interestingly enough, that unnatural death is caused by the infliction of a fatal wound from our own sword. So as the vision comes and the delight begins to rise, wait for God. Be aware that His timing is perfect. Only His timing is perfect. Our method and our timing, every time, will thwart the plan and purpose of God in us. However, you can be certain that God's purposes will be fulfilled. He will simply choose some other person to be His agent for change. Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen. Volume 2, Day 12. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. The conscious experience of salvation in a person's life then is complete, an utter willingness to receive Jesus as the only means of access to God for full redemption. Any other way is not acceptable. No other way will work, as Acts 4 states, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one you killed on a cross, the one God raised from the dead by means of His name, this man stands before you healthy and whole. Jesus is the stone you masons threw out, which is now the cornerstone. Salvation comes no other way. No other name has been or will be given to us by which we can be saved, only this one. Acts 4, 10 through 12, The Message. Jesus took the punishment for our sin, separation from God, by death on the cross, so that we could be set free. Every person on the globe faces the option of walking defiantly away from God and living apart from God in total independence. However, the other option is to choose to be in close relationship with God. The pinnacle of this is to live as if we were in the Garden of Eden, as in the beginning, with God. Since Jesus walked on earth, was tempted just like we are, and did not succumb to the temptations, He became qualified legally to die on a cross to pay our punishment, which we all deserve. Don't look for any other way to heaven. Don't look for your good deeds to outweigh your bad deeds. Don't look for your church, your righteousness, your theology or religion, or acts of kindness to grant you access to God's presence forever. Only personal faith in Jesus and acceptance of the substitutionary penalty of Jesus on the cross sets one free from the penalty of their own wrongdoing. He died to pay the penalty in order to restore us to God. Through Him and Him alone, we can be set free. Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen. Volume 2, Day 13. My heart is His Holy of Holies. Most theological teachings about our body being the temple of the Holy Ghost focus on physicality. There is much commentary about not abusing our bodies because it is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The correct understanding of this truth is not about our bodies, the fleshly shell in which we operate. Rather, it is a reference to our spiritual being, our spirit, our motives. In that sense, the temple of the Holy Ghost is a place of worship for God. Our body, flesh, and blood is inconsequential to Him. It is our own personal Holy of Holies where God chooses to dwell. It's who you are and the way you live that count before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is out looking for, those who are simply and honestly themselves before Him in their worship. God is sheer being itself, spirit. Those who worship Him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves in adoration. John 4:23-24, Message. God wants us to worship Him in spirit. The source of our worship of God is the Holy of Holies within us. When we gather to have a prayer meeting, or even when we pray in private, we consciously form our prayers. We determine what we need to pray for those around us who have requested prayer, or those that we believe need prayer. But the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man is only that prayer which is uttered by the Holy Ghost from within us. The Holy Spirit always knows the purposes of God and will utter prayers to fulfill them. Let Him pray using your lips. The more you do this, the deeper your relationship with God will become. Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen. Volume 2, Day 14. Giving Up My Right to Myself. Many things keep us from doing what God would have us do. These are the things which we deem to be the best things. Yet the things which God would have us surrender to Him are those very best things according to our own definition. For example, we hang on to our Christian service, winning souls to Jesus, witnessing for Christ, or whatever we hold dear as highly valued activities for God. We hang on to them with tenacity as though they are our lifeline to God. We are sadly and sorely mistaken. The Holy Spirit of God wants us to submit entirely to Him. He wants us to surrender all choices, beliefs, thoughts, and expressions to Him. He will actually activate our faculties and direct our thoughts. The Holy Spirit desires to connect us to the immediate desire of God for us in the moment. Only God knows the best choice in each decision point in our lives. What might be best in a general way may actually be bad in a particular moment. Context is critical to every decision. The context is the will of God and the purpose of God. Again, the enemy of the very best is the very good, not the overtly and obviously wicked or evil. It's easy to see, flee, and shun obviously evil things. But it is not easy to avoid the temptation of receiving at least some little bits of recognition or affirmation for doing something good for God. But God is not satisfied with that. He wants us to surrender our right to make each choice to His Holy Spirit, just as Jesus did. Then and only then is God glorified. Our very good is the enemy of God's best. Devotions read by Bob Clarkson.